The passage is titled The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I just ask God to bless the reading of his word this morning.
We've been looking at John 13 through 17, often called the Upper Room Discourse, and this takes place the night before Jesus' crucifixion, beginning with John chapter 13, sitting around that table with his disciples. He begins by cleaning their feet and commanding them to do the same, that as he has served, that they should go and serve. The end of chapter 13, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another. John chapter 14, he begins to spill out a little more that he is leaving them while they're still sitting around the table, but that he will come again for them, and that he is not leaving them alone. He will send another comforter, another counselor that we have just sung the song about, speaking about the Holy Spirit, and how he was going to give the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of them and empower them to do great things for him, and also that they would know the joy and the love of God as the Holy Spirit is poured out in their life. At the end of John chapter 14, he says, come, let us leave. And so they leave the room, and on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and as they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane's in the little valley between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. And as they go down into the Garden of Gethsemane, I think they walk through some vineyards. Even today, there are still olive groves and some things that are planted on the side of those two hills. Would have been even more in Jesus' day. Now there's a lot of roadways and cemeteries and that also in that location. But in that day, it was a real farmer's paradise, and as they're walking through the vineyards, past the plants, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And there are two key things in the passage, and let me just hit those two things right now so that you can pay attention. Number one, the passage is about bearing fruit. Jesus expects his disciples to bear fruit. You must bear fruit. It's a necessity. Otherwise, there's no point. Right? No point in having that branch if there's no fruit. Secondly, is the relationship between us and Jesus. He says, remain in me or abide in me. And as you remain in me, then you will bear much fruit. So those are the two key points. If you look with me at verse 1, if you're in John chapter 15, also in your bulletin for your convenience. This is the metaphor. I've drawn out three key points of the metaphor here. Verse 1, Jesus is the vine. He says, I am the true vine. and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine. And I put down there true as opposed to, I suppose there are other things that you could say, this is what's important for my life, or this is what's going to make me close to God, or this is what's going to bring me satisfaction and fulfillment. And Jesus says, no, I am the true vine. And they probably could have thought in Jesus' day, hey, all we need are the chief priests, or all we need is to be an Israelite, or all I need to do is be connected to the temple. That's good enough. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm the true vine. Be connected to me. Secondly, so there's the vine. Secondly, God the Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. The Greek word there is farmer, but we don't use the word farmer for people who work with vines. We would say a vine dresser. NIV has gardener. So this is God the Father that's doing the work. He's the one who looks after the plant and what's going on. He makes sure that it's bearing fruit, and that's what's taking place in your life. It's God the Father who's making sure everything's going right in your life. It's God the Father that's making sure there's fruit coming out. It's God the Father who sends Jesus Christ into the world. It's God the Father that makes him the vine. It's God's vineyard, right? It's all about him. Thirdly, you and I are the branches. If you look with me at verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. I'm the vine, you are the branches. This is for Natalie. This is a picture of a vineyard in Italy, and you can see the rows of the vines there. And in a way, almost every vineyard looks the same. You can walk between the rows of the vines. And the reason for you to be able to walk through those rows is so that you can access the fruit. It's all about the fruit, right? Got to be able to get to the fruit. And you see that the branches are cut back so that the pathways are nice. They're nice and straight. This allows the sunlight to get to all of these vines. Here's one with a little, you can just see the vine coming up from the ground, and then near the top are the branches. The purpose of the branch is fruit. The purpose of the branch is fruit. Notice with me verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So you see, first of all, if you're not bearing fruit, get rid of it. Okay, see that? Verse 2. Okay, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. I was listening to someone this week, Wilkerson. He's got a tape, a series on this passage, and he says this word for taking away is never used for removing. And so I quickly looked in my Greek lexicon, and I find that it's used for taking away a number of times. For instance, when Jesus is on trial and Pilate brings Jesus out to the Jewish people and he goes, what do you want me to do with this man? The Jewish people shout out, away with him. This word for cutting off. Get rid of them. That's what they're meaning. Get rid of them. Take him away. So every branch that bears no fruit, useless. That's the whole point, fruit. Secondly, every branch that's bearing fruit, what does he do? Verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And thirdly, how do we get much fruit? Verse 4, remain in me, I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Okay, purpose, much fruit. There's the picture of the fruit. That's what we expect to see in your life, and that's what Jesus is looking for in your life. And that's why God has called you into his kingdom, so that you will produce the fruit. So what is fruit? Okay, if you look with me at this passage, and I'm just going to stay in John 15. What is it that he expects you to be doing? What is the fruit that he's looking for from your life? Just based on this passage, here is the fruit that he's looking for. If you look with me at verse 7. Pardon me, need my reading glasses. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. If you remain in me, what happens? You can ask and you'll get answers. Fruit number one, prayer with answers. Prayer with answers. He expects us to be praying. And he says, I will answer. That's fruit. Secondly, obedience. Notice with me verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Expects obedience of his commands. Verse 11, joy. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. When you remain in Jesus Christ, what happens? Joy. Joy. This is great. Verse 12, fruit. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other. That's the number one fruit, love of people. All right, we should be able to see that in your life. Here's the fruit of being connected with Jesus, love. Love here and love here and love here and love here and love here. Verse 13 describes that love. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Laying down your life for friends. In general, fruit equals good works. Notice these two passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I love this passage of Scripture. For we are God's workmanship. Almost like John 15. In John 15, God is the vine dresser, the gardener. In Ephesians chapter 2, God is the builder. He's making something. What is he making? He's making you. We are God's workmanship. He's making you. Created in Christ Jesus, why? To do good works. He makes you. He's bought you with his blood, brought you into his family in order to do good works. And then I like this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So tomorrow morning when you get up, God's already got good works for you to do that day. Okay? So he's called you into his kingdom. He's making you so that you could do good works. I know I like Titus 3 too. By the way, this is found often in the book of Titus. I forget how many times. I think it's like 12 times he says in the book of Titus that God's people are supposed to do good works. Titus 3:8. This is a trustworthy saying. And I think that's his way of saying, okay, put the highlighter on this one. Underline this. This is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God, okay, notice trusted past, you put your faith in him, those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. That's what it's all about, he's saying. Notice this in John chapter 15. If you look with me in your text again, notice how important it is. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He wants fruit. Notice verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. That's how God is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds, your good works, right? You're supposed to do good works so that people see them. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Wilkerson did tell a great story. It took place in Italy. And in this little village, they used to always get together at vine harvest time, grape harvest time. And all of the vineyards would bring the best of the best grapes from their best vine. And they would bring them all together in the center of the village, and then they would give out a prize to which vine had the most grapes. Well, the village gathered together, and the people came in, and they brought the grapes in on the baskets on the burrows, and they brought them all together, but there was still one older vineyard owner who hadn't brought his grapes in. Everyone's waiting. He usually won every year. They go, where is he? Maybe this is the year he's not going to win. Maybe this year he's not going to show up. Maybe he had a bad crop. So they're all waiting for him. And then in the distance, they see a little burrow come over the hill. And on the burrow are baskets, and they're overflowing with grapes. And the people start to clap. And then while they're looking, they see another burrow coming over the hill with baskets on it, overflowing with grapes. And as they watch, a third burrow comes over the hill with baskets on it, overflowing with grapes. Everybody else had one burrow. This man had three. And they all started to clap and they all started to cheer, not for the vine, but for the vine dresser. And so it is with us. As people see our good deeds, they glorify our Father who is in heaven. Notice John 15:8. Why is this fruit so important? Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Notice, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. How am I supposed to tell if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? How am I supposed to tell that? Because you say so? By your fruit. Your fruit shows that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Finally, verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. How important is fruit? He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Okay, so if we're supposed to have fruit, how are we going to produce it? How are we going to produce it? Point number one, pruning increases fruit. Pruning increases fruit. I think I've got a couple pictures here of some pruning. Oh, there we go. Ouch. You see on the left is before pruning and the right is after pruning. I actually got this from some document on the internet that shows you how to prune grapevines. Shows you what it's supposed to look like before you prune it, what it's supposed to look like after you prune it, and what it's supposed to look like after so many years, and how you're supposed to cut it back. And as you cut it back, it actually makes it more fruitful. So God is going to come into our lives, and he's going to be doing things in our lives to make us more fruitful. He's going to be cutting away parts of our lives, cutting away some of the activities of our lives in order to make us better servants of Jesus Christ. Well, how's he going to do that? in this passage, notice how he does it. Verse 3. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Verse 3. You are already clean. The word for clean is the same word that he just used for pruning. Okay? You are already clean. You've already been pruned. How? Because of the word I have spoken to you. One of the key ways in our lives that God prunes us is through his word. If I can give you a tight example just from this passage. In this passage, he tells us, I give you a command that you go and love one another. And that command is pruning your life. That command is supposed to constrain our life. It's supposed to direct our life. Just like someone is pruning his vine, and he's taking his vine and he's going, you know something? That vine's going out into the aisle. I'm going to try to make it follow the line. And if I can't make it follow the line, I need to cut that off. Because the purpose of this vine is to follow this line so that we have this nice straight row and the grapes are going to grow better. So he says, here's the command, love one another. And that kind of gives you this line in your life. And all of God's word is like that. It cuts away at edges of your life and things in your life that you're not doing right. It's the number one way he prunes us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, pruning, reproving, correcting, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pruning increases fruit. One of the ways he does that is by the word of God. It cleans our life. Second way we produce fruit is by remaining or abiding. Notice the number of ways he says this in John chapter 15. And I've got four of them down there in verses 4 through 5. Remain in me, I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. There you have the first way. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So no fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. There's the third way he says it. Fourth way. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that apart from me, you can do a few things? Apart from me, you can do the little stuff. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the fruit that he wants us to produce in our lives, apart from Jesus Christ, cannot be produced. There's nothing there. Well, how do I remain in Christ? If that's the key, that I have to remain in him to produce fruit, how am I going to remain in Jesus, and what does that mean? I've got 4 points. Number one, remaining in Christ is a conscious dependence upon him. Conscious dependence upon Christ. He says it a number of times. Remain in me, and I in you. If you don't remain in me, you'll have no fruit. Apart from me, you do nothing. Conscious dependence. I have to get up in the morning and say, today, I'm living for you, Jesus. Today, I'm following you, Jesus. Notice this passage says nothing about believing. But I think believing is part of that remaining. My faith, Lord Jesus, is in you. Today, it's for you, Jesus. Help me today. Secondly, remaining in Christ means his words remain in us. Look at verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. It says the same kind of thing in verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You know it. Here's my words. I've given you the revelation. Now, as you think about these things, and as you obey these things, and as you put these into practice, that's how you remain in me. Number three, remaining in Christ includes remaining in his love. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. Remain in my love. I think it goes something like this. We decide in our lives, I'm going to do what I want to do. Instead of orienting my life by what Jesus has for me, instead of thinking, yeah, Jesus has got my best in hand, I'm going to decide, no, I want to do what I want to do today. This is for me today. And you're taking yourself outside of the love of Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen? There's no fruit. It's a self-centered existence. Self-centered day of activity. And finally, number four, remaining in Jesus means obeying him. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. What happens when we sin? We're not remaining in Jesus. Right? The more we sin, the less we're remaining. The less we confess, the less we remain. Well, what do I want from you today? And I've got 3 points. Number one, what is my fruit level? What is my fruit level? So this is, first of all, self-assessment. What's happening in my life that is fruit, that is being produced because I'm depending upon Jesus Christ? What is that fruit? Secondly, are other people seeing the fruit? Right? There's a private fruit, but we've also read passages that are about a public fruit. Right? Let your light so shine among men. Okay, what's the fruit level? Are you winning awards for your fruit level? Are you making good wine? Or is there hardly anything there? Number two, how is my connection with Christ? How is my connection with Christ? Am I remaining in him? Am I abiding in his love? Am I consciously connected to him? Am I thinking about him? Am I trying to follow him? Am I obeying him? Am I taking his word seriously? Thirdly, what is the gardener doing in my life? Because as you read this passage, the gardener's doing something. The gardener's doing something. He's either taking the branch and he's getting rid of it, or he's taking the branch and he's pruning it. So what's he doing in your life? Have you any sense that God is doing something to me and he's doing something on me so that I bear more fruit? And I think that's what Jesus is saying. God's doing something in your life because he wants to have fruit. And he's going to do something. Next week, you get a week off from Pastor Dave. Pastor Bill speaking. The week after that, we'll pick up where the passage leaves off. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for this passage about Jesus and his disciples, about Jesus and us. Father, we see clearly in the passage that you want fruit from our lives. Father, I know that as I think about our church and everyone that is a member here and attends here, I see a tremendous amount of fruit. But Father, it's maybe not all the fruit that you would have us bear. And for some of us, maybe not the fruit at all that we should be bearing. I pray for each one of us here. Help us to remain in Jesus Christ, to make that the top priority relationship in our lives, that we follow him carefully every day, that we listen attentively to his voice, and that we abide in his love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.